Anyway, good morning. Thank you for being so flexible. I was telling the 9:30 group, and they're the Anglicans, just so you know. They're used to coming early. I was telling them this morning, I got more phone calls with, Pastor, the service is at 9:15, 10 o'clock, 10:30, 11 o'clock, 11:30. So I'm really glad you all got sorted out, because we're not starting till noon. Anyway, good morning. It's nice to see all of you. Let's open with a word of prayer, shall we? Father, this is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, in this Christmas week, as we gather together to praise your name, to thank you for all your blessings, again, we're reminded that you have done great things. And as this week of Christmas is becoming real to us, remind us of who the reason for the season is all about. And again, that you have done great things, and we want to bless your name today. So be with us as we sing and as we praise you, as we hear your word spoken, and as we have this time to bless you. In your name we pray. Amen and amen. Okay, let me quickly give you some announcements for the week. First of all, I want to just remind you that Monday, 2 o'clock, I believe, this week, right? And then there will be a break till the new year. So Monday for prayer here at 2. Our service for Christmas Eve will be 7 o'clock. And if you would like to be a participant, please let Tonga and myself know. And we'll look forward to seeing you on Christmas Eve. We're doing two services now for the next three Sundays as we head into the new year. So if there's anything you need to ask about that, hope that you're able to coordinate that with you and your family. Sheila, I think you have something you wanted to share, so I'll ask you to come up if you don't mind. While she's doing that, don't forget to get your Christmas cards out of your mail slots. And if some of you are newer, there may be cards for you down on the table, so please take that. And also to let you know that Christina and Jane have put together some little Christmas gifts we want to give you. We want to give you some chocolate chip cookies. Most of you don't have any sugary stuff at home, do you? Anyway, we want to give you a little Christmas gift from the leaders here of the church. So would please take that in the way out. Okay, go ahead, Sheila.
Okay. I've got sheets here that tells you how to give to the Waseca Community Church. Now, you can give by cash or check in an envelope, or you can e-transfer, or you can do an automatic debit by going out to the TD Bank and requesting to donate monthly or weekly or whatever you like. Okay, so it's just to let you know that it's a great way to give.
Now, you have some sheets, do you, Sheila?
I do.
Maybe Tonga, if people need just a little reminder, just put your hand up and there's a little reminder for you. Thank you, Sheila.
You're welcome.
So is there any other updates for today or this Christmas week? So just to let you know, if you need Jane or I, we are around all week. And so we'll trust we'll see you on Christmas Eve or next Sunday. All right. I'm going to ask the worship team to come and lead us in song this morning on this Christmas Sunday. Well, let's take some notes of praise this morning. What has the Lord been doing for you? You know, it's interesting. We've had you to come for dinner over this last month, and so last night one of the questions was, a childhood memory. You know, and I think some of you we asked that question earlier. And I looked around at the group last night, and people were trying to remember if they even had a childhood. Are you with me? I had a friend one time, he was 75 years old. He says, I really miss my dad. And the first thing I thought was, you ever had a dad? But anyway. Okay, so this is notes of praise time. Are you with me now? Barry, go ahead.
I'd just like to make an announcement here. My friend Ted McAlpin was accompanied by Carl into the RVH hospital, I think, was it Friday, Ted? Friday. And he had a procedure done on his back. And according to Bob Jones, he was in a lot of pain yesterday, And I asked him this morning how it was, and he said it's a zero on a score of 1 to 10. The first time in 17 years since he'd fallen off a ladder. And I think that's the very best Christmas present that anybody could ever get, something like that. So way to go, Ted. And he was smiling the whole time.
You want to say something about that? Because, I mean, 17 years, you've had a lot of pain. And your pain levels have been...
I'll let Carl speak because Carl's...
okay.
I took Ted in because we talked to Dr. Lewis, and he had done the same procedure on me. I've had it done twice. It's called an ablation. And they actually physically scar the nerve, and they kill it for up to a year. But funny about nerves is they grow back very, very slowly. So I had mine done in August, and I haven't had any pain in my right side since August. Ted had his on Friday, and today he says his pain is zero. And it's just a marvelous what the medical profession can do these days. After 17 years, he fell off a ladder. He was probably up there cleaning eave troughs or something foolish.
So anyway, Ted's Christmas wish is he's going to go dancing, okay? So congratulations, Ted, and marvelous. We just thank you for that update. Joyce?
I have a praise. A while ago, we had mentioned to you, Dan and I had mentioned to you folks about a family prayer group, which I understand it's quite difficult to get the family together. I don't know why, but anyhow, the Lord's been good to us. We've had the family together generally every Friday night. It gets later and later, but we persevere at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, whatever. Anyhow, we were going to do it for 4 weeks, and then the boys have said, no, we need to continue on.
Wow.
They really need the Lord in their life. I mean, we've learned a lot about the family that Dan and I really weren't aware of, and they're exposing themselves a bit more and trusting that we're here to help them and pray and look out for them, and they're here to, you know, keep us accountable and so forth. So anyhow, on that note, we just did our last one the other night, and they all want to resume again in the new year. So praise the Lord for that.
That
the family
neat.
Has stayed together,
yes.
And I'm coordinating it so they don't have any choice between the mother and the Lord. I think they just fear the God, I hope. Anyhow, so thank you.
That's marvelous. Marvelous. All right, other notes of praise. How about an update, Doug, on your dear wife and her tailbone issue?
She is doing better. If she'd sit still, she'd do a lot better. And it was my bright idea to have the grand boys come over. And here I am, and Grandma's at home with the grandsons. But she is doing better, and she says, thanks for the prayers.
Good.
Appreciates them.
Excellent. Thanks, Doug. Who else? Kathy?
I'm just happy that this week we had Rick up for a day and had a good visit. And then yesterday we had my baby brother came up and visited with us for a couple hours. So that was really nice.
Does he like being called your baby brother? How old is he now, 50?
And he called me his little sister.
Oh, okay, well, as long as it's loving, Kathy, as long as it's loving, yeah. Well, that's marvelous. You've been able to get together. Yeah, Rick came in on Thursday night at the Bible study. It was ever nice to see him walk in. And yeah, it was nice. He got leave from jail for 12 hours, and that was good. So he'll be back salting the roads, I'm sure. Oh, I bet, yeah. All right, other notes of praise? Prayer requests? Yeah, Sue, go ahead. Sure.
I just want to say how beautiful it was that you, Pastor, and Jane had these get-togethers for all of us in the church family. It felt like a real Christmas, getting together with someone, since we didn't have a Christmas last year, really, with family or friends. And so that was really, really special. And thank you very much again.
We're not sure we're ever... Thank you. Jane, I'm not sure we're ever going to do it again because everybody left fed up. Yeah. Sorry, Becca. Go ahead.
So school is done. Tongan, you know that. You're feeling that.
Yeah.
So we have a break, but we may not go back after Christmas. So just prayer for that. It might be online. My AT, my... I don't know what to... Yeah, my associate teacher, I guess, she is really not wanting it to be online. She's like, I went in a pit last time, so I don't want it to be. So there's a lot of teachers that are really struggling with that. So just prayer that it's not. The kids need to be in person. They lose a lot of social skills when they're not. So.
Yeah, they need it. Yeah.
Yeah.
The interesting thing, my one sister has been a supply teacher since she got chronic fatigue, and there's so many teachers that have retired, and none of them are willing to come back and work during the daytime. And so the result is, as my sister said, they literally haven't got enough supply teachers. Becca, I think your school, you're missing 8 teachers, was it? And the principal and the vice principal had to teach classes. So we really need, but we need to pray for the school and the staffs and the kids, because after Christmas, I think there's going to be a lot of stress in the classroom. It's going to be a lot of stress. Parents are going to have to make a lot of decisions over Christmas, so, and teachers too. Okay, who's next? Okay, Donna or Shauna? Yeah, sorry.
Thank her interpreter for signing. Thank you for the Christmas. Every year.
All right, lovely. All right, anything else for prayer? Just quickly, let me give you a couple things from the morning, from our earlier service. As many of you know, Crystal's sister Lydia got rushed into the hospital. She's now in ICU, and so we just need to keep her in mind. Also, Donna Clark was giving us an update. Her whole family and two new sisters are now having surgery. So there's like 6 people between Donna and Bruce that are in hospital or needing surgery. So if you could please pray for Donna and Bruce this week. And Margaret was telling us that her son has got a new medication. They're hoping to stop the strokes in the future. And so we need to remember him. And Monica had a very interesting story. So she has friends in Minnesota who've been locked in with COVID. They went out for dinner one night on August the 28th. And while they were out for dinner, a tree fell on their house. And if they hadn't been out for dinner, they probably would have been killed. But the house, of course, is still under repair. And so they're living in different places, and they're going to live in a friend's house till April. But she was wanting us to know that, you know, even in something as simple as going out for a meal, God's got a plan in that. And so again, we need to trust the Lord every day as he leads us and takes us and delays us and protects us and everything. So, all right, unspoken? All right, let's go to prayer. Father, again, we just thank you for the opportunity we have to come into your presence now, to know that you hear us. You hear the faintest cry. You know everything about us. You know everything about what we are asking for. You know the people. You know there's nothing in this world that escapes your notice. And so, Lord, with confidence, we're coming to you today, first with thanksgiving. You are an amazing God. You've done amazing things. We just rejoice with Ted today that he is sitting here pain-free. And, Lord, we just pray you continue to strengthen his back, Carl's back, and all who are going through some chronic issues, that, Lord, your peace would be upon them all. And for Joyce's family with this prayer time, we just thank you that you're using this to bring their family closer together. We pray for Deanne today that you continue to bring healing on her tailbone and the pain she's gone through with. Bless Rick down in Etobicoke as he works with the winter roads crews. And for those that have finished school, we think of Becca and Tonga and all our boys and girls. And Lord, there's going to be some big decisions that have to be made over Christmas. And so, Lord, we pray that that staff and students will be able to work these issues out. We pray that this virus will quickly dissipate and we can get back to normal life and normal activities. And so, Lord, for this and for Bruce and Donna and their family, for Monica's friends as they await moving back into their home, and, Lord, for all the unspoken requests of this day, we just thank you that you're working. We lift up Susan, who's waiting an MRI on her neck, and we pray for Vanessa, who had a fall and has another concussion. People need you, and we pray for our church family. Lift them up to you this day. Thank you for what you're doing, and wait for good reports. And so, Lord, with that in mind, we just thank you again for all that you're doing. In your powerful name we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask the worship team to come again, please.
Yes, Jesus. Thank you so much for sending your son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins, Lord, so that we may have new life, that our sins are forgiven. We thank you, God. We bless your name. Lord, even as Pastor John is coming to preach your word, we ask for the Holy Spirit, God, to anoint him right now and move through him, Lord. Speak through him, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
How many of you really get excited about Old Testament prophecy? One, two, three. Well, then you're going to love this sermon today, because we're going to delve back into some Old Testament thematic situations back from 713 BC. I want to bring your attention to some words that Isaiah said. And I want to preface this by saying that when God set up the nation of Israel, the design was to be he was overall the protector of the nation. Remember? And then they go, well, you know, we need a king. So they said, fine, you have a king, and they're going to exact taxes off you. They're going to take your sons into the army. They're going to take your girls into servitude. No, we want a king. And so began, in some ways, a downward turn for the nation of Israel. What's interesting is that Isaiah served under four different kings. And, of course, one of them was Hezekiah. Now, Hezekiah reigned for a 40-year period, and the problem that was occurring was dominant nations were attacking all over the world, obviously, to take over the world, and Assyria was the nation of power in the day. And Assyria wanted to attack Egypt because it was also a strong nation, and they wanted to annihilate Egypt. And the Israelites felt that while the Assyrians were marching over to Egypt, they were going to wipe out the Israelites. And so the leaders met with the king, and it was decided that they would make an alliance with the Egyptians. Their thinking was, if we could be together as a team, we could probably fend off the Assyrians. Now, you'll remember, just a few hundred years earlier, Moses had left Egypt with all the Israelites, and here were the Israelites going to make another alliance with the Egyptians, and who do you think was happy? Not the Lord. He was very upset, because what they had basically said is, we're not trusting in you, we're going to trust in the might of other nations. So let me pick up the story for you, and you'll find here, as you see it on the screen, in Isaiah chapter 30, the Lord says to these folks, the Israelites and their spiritual leaders and temporary leaders, "Ah, stubborn children, declares the Lord, who carry out a plan but not mine, who make an alliance but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, who set out to go down to Egypt without asking my direction, for my direction, to take refuge in the protection of Pharaoh and to seek shelter in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the protection of Pharaoh turn to your shame, and the shelter in the shadow of Egypt to your humiliation." And then he goes on to say, "Woe to those who go down to Egypt." So twice Isaiah is saying this, the Lord speaking, "for help and rely on horses, who trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are strong, but do not look to the Holy One of Israel or consult the Lord, for they are rebellious people, lying children, children unwilling to hear the instruction of the Lord." And again, because of the leaders, the entire nation is tainted, and the Lord's upset. Now, the interesting thing, and if you study Old Testament, you'll often find the Lord says something, he's upset about something, and then the prophet or whoever's speaking says, "But the Lord's willing to show mercy and goodness to you and blessing to you." And this is what Isaiah then says in the same chapter of 30 and verse 15. "For thus said the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning to whom? To me, and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and trust shall be your strength. But you were unwilling, and you said, 'No, no, we will flee upon horses, and therefore you shall flee away. We will ride upon swift steeds, and therefore your pursuers shall be swift.' A thousand shall flee at the threat of one, and the threat of five you shall flee, till you're left like a flagstaff on the top of a mountain, like a signal on a hill. Therefore the Lord waits to be gracious to you. Therefore he exalts himself to show mercy to you. For the Lord is a God of justice, and blessed are those who wait for him. So what do you hear from Isaiah? Isaiah is saying, if you will trust me, then what? I will bless you. If you put me first again, I will lead you. And then he says, the blessings will be like this in verses 29 to 31 of Isaiah 30. You shall have a song as in the night when a holy feast is kept, and gladness of heart as when one sets out to the sound of the flute to go to the mountain of the Lord, to the rock of Israel. And the Lord will cause his majestic voice to be heard, and the descending blow of his arm can be seen in furious anger and a flame of devouring fire with a cloudburst and a storm and hailstones. And the Assyrians will be terror-stricken at the voice of the Lord when he strikes with his rod. What do you hear there? Isaiah's laying the whole thing out. If you'll trust in me, the Assyrians will be as nothing. Now, what's interesting is Hezekiah did pray, and Isaiah sent Amos, the prophet, to come and talk to the king. And the end result, 2 Kings tells what happened. So let me tell you this story. God speaking, "For I will defend this city and save it for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David." And that night, the angel of the Lord went out and struck down 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. When the people arose early in the morning, behold, these were all dead bodies. Then Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, departed and went home and lived in Nineveh. And as he was worshiping in the house of Nishras, his god, Adrammelech and Sesarez, his sons, struck him down with a sword and escaped into the land of Ararat. And Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his place. Wow. I don't know about you, but I'm amazed at how quickly people can lose sight of the Lord. Beautiful example of what we just read. So as you and I are approaching Christmas of 2021, I want to ask you a question. Who are you aligned with? Are you focused on the Lord as Jesus is the reason for the season? Or are you like most non-Christians who are focused on Amazon and the Bay and the 20% at Shoppers Drug Mart on Saturday? And the list goes on. I have never heard so much moaning as this past couple of weeks because Swiss Chalet is closed. What does that have to do with the nativity and the birth of a king? And so I want to remind you as we head into this Christmas week, what are we actually believing? Who do we actually trust? Because I think it's what we heard from Isaiah 2,700 years ago in verse 2 of chapter 9, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. We're the recipients of that. And of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. And then I bring you up to 2,000 years ago. What does Luke very succinctly say? And in that same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. The angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying what? "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he's well pleased." I think what saddens me the most as we come up to this Christmas season is how much the world, if any, even pay attention to the reason for the season. The world at best will say, oh, it's just some baby got born. It's just a birth. The reality is, I think a lot of Christians do the same thing. This is not about coming to worship a baby. This is coming back this Christmas to worship the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And what does God say in terms of where he is and who he is? You know, the man walked for 30 years on the earth. And John, at the end of his gospel, says these words, which are incredibly profound. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing him, you may have life in his name. And that's more than a baby. It's more than a baby. Hebrews, Paul says it so succinctly. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, like Isaiah. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. He's the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of his nature. He upholds the universe by the word of his power. And by after making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high to do what? Intercede for you and I. Every day, any time of day or night. Family, I've made a little alliteration which I think is timeless for you and I who believe in Christ. First of all, there's the birth. Then there's Bethlehem. Then there's the baptism. Then there's Beatitudes. Then there's blessings. Then there's bewilderment. But most of all, there's belief. Family, as we come into this Christmas week, I want you to see again the reality of what we believe. It's not just about a birth. It's not just about getting to a stable. It's not about the wise men arriving to a house where they found him as a young child. It's more than that. It's more the fact that we have a Savior who's running the world, and he made it before any of us even existed as people. And so, Paul says the following, since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Family, he's bigger than COVID. He's bigger than any fears you've got. He's bigger than any disruption in your family. He's bigger than any confusion in society. He's bigger than any debt load. He's bigger than death. This Christmas, it's all about belief. And if we don't believe, the world's still going to believe more in Amazon than in the reality of who Jesus Christ is. So family, with that in mind, I commend to you this week that God has given us. Let's live it to the best of our ability. Let's bless him for what we have. And you know what? Whenever I think of the Christmas tree, that's the tree I think of. And it's empty. It's empty. Father, as we head out into this week, our song needs to be joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth continue to receive her King. Father, may this be the reality for each one of us. The Lord has come, and he's our King. And so help us to appreciate this as we go into this Christmas week. May we be stirred up in response to that belief. May people see that there's something different about us because we serve a God who's real. A God who's risen from a grave, a God who has the power to forgive sin, and a God who gives us eternity in which to live. Lord, we want that for everybody, for our family, for friends, for neighbors, for people we work with, for people that we know. And may this even start this week. Use us to be your ambassadors. This world needs Jesus, who is more than a baby, but it starts with him. As a baby. We thank you now in your powerful name. Amen. has asked if she could just give a little story before we conclude. I think we'll just lift your faith. So Becca, here, take that and just take a minute to share.
Okay. So I just wanted to share something really exciting that I got to do this week. So in grade two, which is what I've been teaching for the last 3 weeks, they have a social studies unit all about celebrations around the world. So I got to teach 20 students all about Jesus' birth, and a lot of them, when I asked if they knew the story already, shot their hands right up. So it's really encouraging to see it is still in the schools, even in public schools. And maybe it's just grade two, I don't know, but it's super exciting.
We'll take a moment. Thank you for sharing. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you that you're on your throne. Thank you your Son is interceding right beside you. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. And as we move into this week, our God is victorious. You are real, and we love you. Bless this family as they head into this week. Guide, guard, and protect them in all they do. And may they sense your presence in the busyness even of this week. We thank you in Christ's name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Bless the Lord.